Welcome to the Hump Day Podcast. My name is Pastor Kevin Robertson. It is March 29th, 2017. Now, this is going to be fun. Now, I love Roger Fisk, and we're going to be interviewing him for the next podcast. And Roger, how long have you been going to come to our church?
Coming to Marina, I kind of lost count, to be honest, but...
just seems like an oblivious dream or a nightmare.
No, it's been a wonderful experience, I'll say that. You laugh, but I absolutely mean it.
Okay.
I want to say probably about 8 years at least.
8 years. How'd you find the church?
Funny enough, I used to live... Now, those of you who probably don't know where this church is located, right across the street is an apartment complex. I lived there for a year and moved away, and then when I was Googling churches in the area... This Marina Christian Fellowship came up, and I was like, wait a minute, this church was here the entire time, and I lived across the street? So it was about a year later after
I... So you never saw the church across the street? Drove in and out?
Not as focused on getting in and out. And
never noticed the church. So when you Google that, you go, dang, there's a church across the street?
Yeah. And I was like, why didn't I find this out all this time? And that was probably in 2006, I want to say.
Okay, you've been going ever since for 8 years.
Yeah, well, it's probably more consistently, I would say, for 8 years as I tried.
Okay, perfect. So tell us about your background. Your parents live where?
Currently, they live in Las Vegas, Nevada.
And then is that where you grew up?
No, I was born in Taiwan.
Okay.
My parents met there. My dad, I always say, is a white boy from San Diego, and met my mom in Taiwan. And she's obviously Chinese, and he was working in Taiwan at the time, and he was dropping off some parts for one of the pilots there. I guess was a motorcycle guy.
Okay.
And the way my dad tells it, he says after he left, he calls the airline back that my mom was working for. Says, hey, were you wearing... And she answers the phone. She was, if I remember correctly, she was secretary to the president of the airline at the time.
Okay.
And she answered the phone, and he says, hi, were you wearing a red dress? She says, no. He goes, oh, well, you want to go out anyway? And my dad's always been very direct
He was slick. Were you wearing a red dress?
He cuts through it. He always gets to the point.
Okay. So then they met up, and then they... moved to the United States, or did they live in
Taiwan? They lived in Taiwan. I was born in Taiwan. Okay. And
your dad worked there, too?
Yep.
Okay. So when did you guys move to the U.S.?
I think it was in 85, I want to say, in 1985.
And how old were you?
I was four, almost 5 years old at the time.
Now, if you don't know Roger, Roger's 6 foot. How tall are you?
6'3".
6'3", okay. 6'3", and so his mother, I've seen pictures of his mother, is very petite.
She's not that petite, but...
Well, she's not 6'3".
No. No, the height definitely comes from my dad's side of the family, because I got... My dad's about 6 even, and I got some tall uncles, too.
Okay, so this is interesting to me. Your dad is not religious at all.
No.
Right? And your mother is a Buddhist.
Yes.
And so, you grew up in a non-religious kind of Buddhist home at the same time.
Well, religion was not very dominant in our household. It wasn't really talked about or...
mentioned.
Or mentioned one way or the other, not in a positive or a negative way.
Right.
But I remember as a kid, I was always very interested in religion. I liked studying. I would study Egyptology, learn about those guys. Uh-huh. Greek mythology was always one of my favorites. Okay. I always thought that was really cool. And when I was maybe around 10 or 11, when I studied religion, it was all about what is the right way to get into heaven.
Okay.
That's what I was focused on. Am I living a good enough life to get into heaven?
So when you were young, you were studying how to get into heaven.
Yes.
Okay, and you were looking at all kinds of different religions.
Yes.
Okay.
And just trying to figure out which made the most sense, which seemed the best way to go.
Okay.
And, even when I went to school back in Taiwan, I went to... I don't know if it was a Catholic school, but I remember the nuns were the teachers right. at the time, and you know, we had to wear uniforms and such.
Right.
I don't remember off the top of my head anything particularly religious that we had to do, but it was probably just the best school available for me at the time.
Right.
And that's why we moved to the States, is because my folks thought I would get a better education here in the States than over in Taiwan at the time.
Okay.
And so, you know, as I got older and I was studying these things, I went to a Christian middle school up in Watsonville, California, which is by Santa Cruz.
Oh, did you? I had no idea.
Yeah, that's... So,
there's a lot of stuff I don't know if people talk, put a mic in front of me. I had no idea you lived in Watsonville, because I lived in San Jose.
Okay, well, there you go.
Yeah, I lived there from 1972 to 1978.
Oh, probably okay.
Before you were born.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. So I love that area. You can't afford to live there now.
No, not anymore. Strangely enough, it's less of, these days it's less affordable to live there now, and people complain about what the price of housing is down here.
It's super expensive enough in that area. And so you know Santa Cruz.
Yes.
The first roller coaster I've ever ridden was on Beach and Boardwalk.
Oh, with
the Big Dipper.
Did they have the Popeye? Because when I was up there, they had Popeye as their mascot. You know how Six Flags Magic Mountain is all Looney Tunes.
I can't remember if the Popeye was there. I just remember I was freaking out on that roller coaster. And then I just saw it a few years ago, and it's a dinky little thing.
Yeah.
So it's still running.
Absolutely, yeah. They take great... There's another theme park in the Santa Clara area.
Great America.
Exactly. Next door to the Levi's Stadium where the 49ers play. And
which it happens to be your...
Well, it just happens to be. It's a little shout out there. And they have a roller coaster there called the Grizzly.
Right.
Which is a wooden roller coaster. Okay. I don't know if it's still there, but I remember it's another big landmark there that's been there forever. And it's one of the things, if you go there, that's one of the roller coasters you have to ride.
I remember when Great America first opened. I was a teenager.
Oh, wow.
And it was the first roller coaster that did a loop that I rode.
That sounds right, yeah.
Yeah, well, it was crazy. So anyway, so you lived in Watsonville. We were going to the Christian school.
I lived, it's funny, you mentioned San Jose. I lived in South San Jose in a little town called Morgan Hill.
Okay.
And I went to school in Watsonville.
Right.
And it was a Christian middle school and high school on the same property called Monta Vista. And my folks wanted me to go there again. They just saw it was a better schooling system out there.
Right.
And it was there, I think when I was in the 7th or 8th grade, that I became following Christ more and, you know, understanding it more. And there was still, you know, how people have stereotypical thinking of Christians, you know, the walk, you know, they're perfect, they can be judgmental, but, you know, they almost think, you know, we're the white-collared shirts kind of guys. And I did have that thinking at the time, but as the years have gone by, as I've kind of walked more in my faith and become more comfortable as a person, I realize it's not that at all.
Right.
You know, it's, you live your life how you want, you follow Christ, you follow God's word as best you can.
Okay.
But it shouldn't stop you from living your life however you want.
Right.
You have to know for yourself what you're comfortable with. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's, you don't have to go to a Latin mass at 5 a.m. in the morning for 2 hours.
Okay.
You don't have to, I don't follow the rules, if you will. I follow that Jesus, you follow Jesus, you live your life according to that as best you can.
Right.
But personally, I don't do Lent. Don't do...
Do the religious rituals.
Yeah, because, I mean, just personally to me, I don't think eating meat on Friday or not eating meat on Friday is a hell-worthy trespass, shall we say.
Right, okay.
It's not who you are as a person. It seems to be more... Just to me, you're going through the rituals rather than the understanding of something.
Yeah.
Now, I understand 40 days because Jesus was the wilderness for 40 days.
But it's not for you.
It doesn't make sense to me as much. Okay. I don't... I just... personally, this is just personally. I don't.
Disclaimer.
Yeah, this is just my personal opinion. Yes, exactly. If you feel comfortable with it, and I know people have been doing it for generations, okay. But I'm just saying, for me personally, it doesn't do anything for me one way or the other. And I remember, there's a friend of mine who was some years ago. He was trying to be a good Catholic and not eat meat on a Friday, and we were at the Yard House out in Pasadena. Right. And he ordered a hamburger, and it was 11 o'clock at night, and he just sat there looking at it, and I said, dude, just eat the burger. You're going to be okay. I promise you. Just eat the burger, because he really was hungry, too. And
was he just waiting until midnight?
He was just waiting until midnight, and I was like, eat it, man. You're killing me.
You tell him it's midnight and someone in Kansas.
There you go. Yeah, yeah. Hey, if you're in New York right now, it'd be midnight. You're perfectly fine. Think of it that way.
So anyway, so did you get involved in the church then? Okay, you were 8th, 9th grade. You accepted Christ, following Christ. Did you get involved in some kind of church?
I went to church. I tried to go to church with my friends during Easter and Christmas. I wasn't going to as much then.
Right.
But being that I went to a Christian school, right. I think it was on Wednesdays that we had what they called a chapel service. Right. For about an hour, where you know there'd be a musical program, okay. Or a play or just a testimony, okay. Or what have you.
Okay. Now, when you're living in the San Jose area, is this where you started getting to be a fanatic for the 49ers?
I was a young 49er fan during the Montana Rice era.
Okay.
And still think Joe Montana is the greatest quarterback of all time.
Okay.
And I know most franchises have their great quarterback.
You embrace that and own that.
Well,
it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks.
It all started, I want to say, back probably at least in 1989. When the World Series between the Oakland A's and the San Francisco Giants,
right.
Which is also known as the Earthquake Series.
The Earthquake, yeah, I remember that. I remember watching it on TV, the Earthquake Series.
So all my friends were going for the Oakland A's, okay. and it was a big hype at the time, too,
right.
Between Jose Canseco and Mark McGwire.
Right.
You know, the Bash Brothers, how right. they come to home play and they bash the forearms like that. And I'm not really a bandwagon kind of person.
Right.
And all my friends were going for the A's, so I said, "Well, I'm going for the Giants then." And it turned out for that series to be the wrong decision, but in more recent years, I've been proven right.
So you're a hardcore Giants, San Francisco Giants fan.
Yeah, I'm a Giants.
Anything San Francisco.
Well, I'm a Giants fan. It's like when you're down here. Are you a Clippers fan or are you a Lakers fan? Okay. You can't be both. One day you're going to have to make a decision. And when you're in NorCal, you're an Oakland fan or you're a San Francisco fan. And
right.
I went the San Francisco route, so.
I remember when we lived in San Jose, my mom bought me an Oakland Raider jacket and brought my brother a 49er jacket. So I wore the Oakland Raider jacket and just pretend I was a football fan. You know me. I'm not into sports.
Yeah.
My wife is. And so I was... But Oakland Raider fans are nuts. The San Francisco ones are pretty mellow. Because I went to the San Francisco game. I told you a few years ago. San Francisco and Pittsburgh Steelers. Up in your old...
Back in the old stadium at Candlestick,
which was falling apart.
Oh, yeah.
So now you have a new stadium. And so now going back to your walk with the Lord, a few months ago, you made an appointment with me, and you go, I need to talk to you. And you were, like, messed up because you went and saw this movie. And tell us about this movie. That basically you said, are you going to see that? I need to talk through this. What movie was that?
There was a movie that came out in mid-December of 2016 called Silence with Andrew Garfield, and it's directed by Martin Scorsese. And the movie is based on a book that came out in the 60s, I believe, of the same name.
Right.
And what it's about is during the feudal times in Japan, you know, where there's shoguns and samurais, it was a very dangerous time to be a Christian. And it was a lot of underground churches and trying to convert people and such. Now, what this story is about is a Portuguese priest has renounced his faith.
Right.
Back at the headquarters in Portugal, they get the letter that the priest has renounced his faith in Japan.
Right.
Under penalty of torture.
Okay.
And his two students, they who were very devout followers of his, they can't believe that he would turn like that.
Right.
So they do sort of a rescue and reconnaissance mission to go find him. And this movie, I understand the story behind it is Martin Scorsese read the book during the 80s.
Okay.
And he's been trying for over 20 years to get, well, over 30 years now, you say, to get the movie made because he was so moved by it as well. And when I saw it, it just really spoke to me about talking about faith.
Okay.
The whole movie is about, you know, these people, these poor peasant villagers, they are constantly under the threat of shoguns and samurais, under the constant threat of death or torture if they're caught with any Christian artifacts, you know, whether it be just a simple cross or a Bible or anything.
Right. And this is all true.
I think the story itself might be is probably based on fact, but it's probably what happened during that time.
Right.
And, you know, for these simple people to have such strong faith, it just really moved me when I saw it.
Right.
And, you know, oftentimes, when you see somebody with such dedication, it makes you question. It's like, wow, how dedicated am I?
Yeah.
And it kind of tied into a sermon you did at that time when you said, when people look at you, do they see, oh, yes, that guy is absolutely a Christian.
Right.
And, you know, it just made me think about that. And I've tried to, it just really moved me.
Yeah. And I think you were mentioning, too, about the missionary. Because I think you were talking about, and I haven't seen the movie, where the missionary just said, you know what, I'm going to teach them, I'm going to share Christ, and just move across the whole planet, put his life in danger too, correct?
Yes, absolutely, because he was also being hidden by the villagers too, because especially as a foreigner in Japan, and that was even perhaps even more dangerous than being a local and practicing your faith. And it's funny because, you know, I'm going to give a little spoiler here. I mean, the book's all, the book is 60 years old. And towards the end of the movie, it's sort of left up to the viewer is, you know, because when the samurai come, they say, if you're going to renounce your faith, and they have a little tablet, which a little engraving drawing, either of Mary or of Jesus on the cross or the cross itself. And they say, if you really renounce Christ, then spit on this crucifix.
Right.
If you really renounce Christ, then stamp on this picture of Jesus.
Right.
And what's kind of left up to the viewer is, if you do it, does that still make you a bad Christian?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you doing what you have to survive?
Right.
If you still live with Christ every day in your heart, you know, I felt that's what the message was trying to get across. That's what's more important.
So you would recommend the movie?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, so, I highly recommend
it. Okay. So we'll do a little plug for the movie. and it's called what again?
It's called Silence.
Silence, and the director by
Martin Scorsese.
Okay. So I assume you can find it on Netflix.
It would probably be out pretty soon. It didn't last too long. It only lasted a few months in the theaters. I don't really think you can find it much anymore.
Right.
But it should be out in the next few months, I would venture to guess.
Okay. So let's move to your how would I say it? Your weirdness.
Okay.
I put weirdness. Now, when I was a kid, way back when, I liked wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
I really did. But at 12 or 13 years old, I kind of just moved out of it. Now, you're one of the most hardcore wrestling fanatics that I've known.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to you?
I founded this church, see? And
where did you get this passion? It's a wrestling mania, because not only that you love wrestling, you go to these WrestleManias, mm-hmm. and they have once a year, right?
Yes.
And I think 2 years ago was in your 49ers stadium.
Yeah. Yes. Let's see. Yes, 2 years ago was at Levi's Stadium.
And the only reason I know this is because you told me.
Oh, okay.
It's not like I'm falling. How'd you get into that wrestling stuff?
Well, when I was a kid, this was probably in 88, I just remember the name Hulk Hogan.
Okay.
And just hearing that, I said, there's something important about that name, isn't there? And I remember at the time, we somehow got the pay-per-view SummerSlam 1988, which is the first SummerSlam, for free. And I videotaped it because I don't know why, but I just remember thinking as a kid there was something important about right. that name. And one of my friends at the time was also a big wrestling fan, mm-hmm. so that's how we all got along. He would always order the pay-per-views, and we right. hang out at his place. And he got it because his grandma was a big wrestling uh-huh. fan growing up, too.
Right.
So it just kind of passed like that. And ever since then, it's just become my obsession. It's something that I never let go as yeah. a kid, and especially when you've been following Hulk Hogan for so long, mm-hmm. and the guy's had such a long career in right. and out of the ring,
right.
and just what wrestling has turned into. It mm-hmm. started, I mean, think about it, started way back in the early 1900s as a carnival attraction,
right.
and you know, slowly it moved into a business because mm-hmm. it got split up around the country and around the world for territorial territorial federations. And then Vince McMahon came along in the late 70s
yeah.
and said, I'm going to take this thing global and combine it into one big thing. Mm-hmm. And you look at it today, it's one big global
billion-dollar business.
It's a billion-dollar empire. And it's one of those things. I mean, there are still several independent, if you will, or just non-World Wrestling Entertainment companies that produce really great wrestling shows. Uh-huh. If you just, because the thing about World Wrestling Entertainment, they're a publicly traded right. company.
Okay.
So not only do they have to produce a really good show, but they also have to maintain a certain corporate image, if right. you will. That's okay. kind of my feeling on it. So there could be, I mean, there's several guys on the roster who are probably more talented as wrestlers or right. just talented on the entertainment factor that fans are just rabidly right. behind. But for appearance sake, perhaps WWE has to put it more on a this, we're not all gorillas, okay. you know, this is actually a clean cut guy. This is,
right.
you know, he does the charities, he loves the yeah. kids and stuff like yeah. that.
So even looking at you, if you're listening to the podcast, he sits up more, he's getting more animated because he's totally into this. So I want to ask him a question. If all of a sudden you met this girl
uh-huh.
that's totally into you, okay, that says, look, I think you're the greatest guy in the world, and you think she's attracted too, you like her, but she says, you know what, the wrestling's got to go. So if you go, if you say, oh, I get a girlfriend, but I have to give up wrestling,
mm-hmm.
what do you do? What do you do?
Well, you know, I know we've talked about this before. It, hopefully, it's what if the right woman is to come along, she would never let me make that. She wouldn't make me choose.
She wouldn't make
me
choose.
She wouldn't make me choose. But it's one of those things where you're not always going to like yeah. some hobby that the other person likes.
I think it's funny that you guys are you're totally committed to this. And I think it's, in fact, I remember, you know, we were doing a pre-interview and I was telling Roger, I was saying, Roger, I can't remember where I was. I said, Roger, you know it's fake. And you said,
no, it's scripted.
So there's a difference.
There is a difference. And people out there, think about it like this. When you go to a movie and you're watching Star Wars, is it fake or is it scripted? Do you still get 100% behind it? Do you love the characters? And that's exactly the same thing. What wrestling is, it's live theater.
Right.
And think about, we've had live theater for centuries in the history of okay. mankind. You think, This is an extreme factor, but think back to the gladiatorial games
right.
back in Rome.
Yeah, okay.
And that's all this is, except no one really dies.
Okay, so not only that you went off the deep end with wrestling, you also are fanatic with Comic-Con?
Comic-Con, yes.
Okay, yeah. Explain to anyone that doesn't know what Comic-Con is.
Well, the big comic there, Comic-Con itself is the parent name, if right. you will, of the organization. But the big one here is San Diego Comic-Con, which is always in July.
Okay.
And as the name states, it's always in San Diego. I hear the New York one, which is usually in October, is pretty okay. big too, but I haven't had the opportunity to make it out there for that.
Okay.
But the San Diego Comic-Con, it is kind of a misnomer now. Now, Comic-Cons, as with any openings of great events, started off just as it sounds, strictly about comic books.
Okay.
And I believe it was just in a hotel lobby at the time.
Right.
But now it's blown up into a global thing because you have people literally traveling, just like WrestleMania, where you have people traveling all around the right. world. And I've seen it too. Right. Like, I remember last year, people came from Scotland and were dressed like Roddy Piper. I heard German. I heard Portuguese. I heard all kinds of different languages wow. last year. And you see this at Comic-Con too. Now, a friend of mine has said in recent years that it should be called Pop Culture Con because okay. that's what it's turned into. Yes, there are still tons of comics being sold there, and you do still meet
right.
Living comic book artists and writers mm-hmm. who have written your favorite Captain America and Superman right. and Spider-Man yeah. and all that over the years. But it's more of a pop culture thing now because a lot of TV and movie studios use this as an event to promote their next product or to promote the next movie or television show. And it's great for fans because they get to see all their favorite actors and just lose their minds over okay. it. I'll tell you a funny story. Last year, I went into the thing about Comic-Con is they have these different panels. And the trick to it is, I'm going to tell everybody out there, if you want to get into a panel you want to see, say you want to, well, for this instance, last year was the 75th anniversary of Wonder Woman.
Okay.
And I wanted to sit
75.
In. 75 years last year. Exactly.
It's a little old now, isn't it?
In the last few years, there have been a lot of 75th anniversaries. Okay. Let's see, 3 years ago, I think, was the 75th anniversary of Superman. 2 years ago, I think, was the anniversary, 75th anniversary of Batman. And then last year was the 75th anniversary of Wonder Woman.
Okay.
So, and there's a Wonder Woman movie coming out in May, I believe, this year.
Okay.
And
I saw the previews of it.
Yeah.
It looks pretty cool.
It looks good, but we all said the same thing about Batman versus Superman, too, when we saw the trailer for it. Hey, it looks good. And now I'm trying not to. I'm really hoping that it does well for DC and that it is a good movie because.
DC is what?
Detective Comics, which okay. is how Marvel, you know, has Spider-Man and the Avengers okay. and such.
So at Comic-Con, do you dress up like a stormtrooper or Chewbacca? Or?
Yeah, I don't because none of
you
my.
Do you dress up?
I don't. Okay, I wear maybe a T-shirt or okay. something like that.
Now, but on the wrestling, you do dress up. You dress like Hulk Hogan?
Occasionally. I do that more for Halloween. okay. That was last year's Halloween picture. I was Hollywood Hulk Hogan from the NWO.
Okay.
But when it comes to wrestling, I'll just wear the... I'll go a little bit more extreme by wearing the bandana or
okay.
doing more of the caricature. And there are a lot of fans there that go full out. And I've seen some absolutely great costumes.
Really?
But one of the things that always struck me as curious is the people that carry the title belts around. Because you can get these title belts made. Right. Well, WWE sells them on their shopping website, WWE Shop.
Right.
And those things weigh about 10 pounds.
Right.
So why would you want to carry that around for 3 or 4 hours
right.
and make sure that nobody steals it? You got to have a tight grip on it the whole time. But there are companies that make them as well.
Yeah, I don't understand why anyone would buy the belt or even go to Comic-Con. But that's something that...
Well, it's a collector's item.
Yeah, it's a collector's item. So let's switch gears. We'll go from the wrestling to the Comic-Con. So... I want to talk about where you really had to really pray a long time for employment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you were laid off when?
February last year.
Okay, February last year. And you've been working for this company for a long time.
Yeah, almost 11 years.
11 years. And what's the company?
Well, I don't throw them under the bus. I'd rather not say.
So you worked for this company for 11 years, and then all of a sudden you just got a notice.
Well, from what I was told, it was business was bad for 2015.
Okay.
So there was I wasn't the only one. Right. There were a lot of layoffs that year.
Okay.
In early February, and since then, as I've been told, there's still been a lot of restructuring within the company.
Right. Now I've never been laid off. I've been fired.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my version. Let's put it this way. They said, we're laying you off.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it was, I'm getting fired.
Mm-hmm.
It's devastating.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shock to your system.
Mm-hmm.
And was it devastating for you?
It was a bit of a shock.
Okay.
In some ways, I kind of expected it too, because right when they said, because this was around 9 o'clock in the morning, as I recall, when it happened.
Okay.
And then I was finishing up a job, and I was come back to the booth, and then they say, hey, the management wants to see you. And I'm thinking, well, I didn't do anything wrong. I said, I wonder if something else is on the is on the table. And I remember there was two people there. There was the area manager, and there was my direct manager.
Which right then you know it's bad.
Yeah, I was like, I wonder what happened here.
Yeah.
And the branch manager and I, we've been friends for a long, long time. We both started around the same time.
Okay.
So, and I remember he was pretty devastated by it too. Like I remember he couldn't even look at me, and in some ways I kind of felt bad for him because it's not an easy. I mean, nobody wants to fire anybody,
right, or lay on,
but sometimes you got to do what you got to do, especially when a guy's been doing a good job,
right.
and I have been doing a good job.
So what was interesting, because you came in the office quite often, you didn't get employment for a while. I mean, you looked, didn't you?
Yeah, I looked for a long time, and yeah, I didn't get any jobs. I don't know if I was reaching too high.
Right, and then all of a sudden, because I remember you were on unemployment for a while,
mm-hmm.
and then you're like a few weeks. I think it was the end of December, wasn't it, where the unemployment was running out.
Yeah,
and it gets to the point, and this is what I want to ask you: does it get to a point where you just go, "Okay, God"? Okay, I get it. Because you were unemployed for how long?
Almost a year.
So it's almost like you pray and say, Lord, I need a job and stuff like that. And then month after month, day after day. Did that affect you spiritually? I mean, did your perspective of God change any?
I'm a pretty optimistic person.
Okay.
And I looked at it more of, is this where you want me to be now?
Okay.
Whenever there would be jobs or schooling, and that was one of the great things. Funny enough, that I will say about being unemployed was I found a very reputable school that allowed me to get certified in digital marketing.
Right.
And my background is in copywriting and marketing.
Right.
And I heard about digital marketing for some time and saw that this was the next wave in this industry.
Yeah.
So I was able to get schooling and certification in that.
Mm-hmm.
And that has been a plus too, because back now I have this new skill under my belt. I have this new talent.
Yeah.
And I did get rehired, if you will, as my buddy worked for a subsidiary of that company. And he says, hey, you know, we could use somebody and with some operations help if you want to come in. I'm like, absolutely.
Okay.
So, fortunately for him, fortunately for me that I was still friends with him.
Yeah.
And now.
It's a good thing.
Burn
your bridges.
Yeah.
And so you've been employed for how long now?
Since the middle of January of this year.
Okay, middle of January. So a month and a half. I would guess 2 months.
Almost 2 months,
exactly 2 months.
Yeah.
So if you were going to give anyone advice,
mm-hmm.
and they're sitting there going, they've been waiting and waiting, you know, and they prayed and they say, Lord, I'm praying for this. You know how we do. We pray and we feel good. The Lord's going to answer right away. And then you go, shoot.
Okay. Yeah. it is one of those things that sometimes even I, you know, as long as I've been a Christian, there are still things that I don't understand or I don't know, or I still think of back when I was a neophyte Christian. And
a neophyte.
Yeah.
That's a good illustration. Okay.
But, you know, just thinking that God's a genie and all I got to do is pray to him and my wish is going to come true. Yeah. He'll smite my enemies.
That would be great.
And X, Y, and Z. But you come, as you go through your faith, you come to the understanding that your way is not God's way. Mm. And God's not going to let you starve. God's not going to, you know, he's rooting for you. That's the one thing that kept me going. He's rooting for you.
Okay.
And you, sometimes you just got to wait it out. And like with me, you got to keep your eyes open for other opportunities and just hit every avenue for those that might be going through unemployment. You got to hit every avenue that you possibly can.
Right.
I went back because I didn't even know this existed at the time. Mm-hmm. A friend of mine said, "Hey, have you checked the alumni relations at LMU? Because they try to help people find work." I was like, "Oh, I didn't know that was such a thing." So I checked over there, and she was extremely helpful. And when I told her towards the middle of the summer when I started doing the schooling again. Mm-hmm. And I said, "Hey, have you heard of this school called General Assembly?" And she got really excited. Her eyes got. Yeah. She goes, "Oh, that's a terrific school. If they're doing something, you should definitely do it." And I'm like, "Okay, I'm going to do it then." And I'm glad I did it. It was a lot of fun. And like I said, I got this new skill under my belt to try and make myself more marketable.
Because of the unemployment. So it's not like you stop looking for a job. You still continue to looking for something that you would be more happy with. But right now you're employed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm trying to use my marketing skills and my digital marketing skills to make this company give it a more public view.
Okay. So let's close in this.
All right.
Okay. I think you and I were in a conversation a couple of weeks ago, and you were determined to tell me that your wrestling fanaticism is biblical.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so, if you don't know this because it's a podcast, he's showing a shirt that says
Ephesians 6:12.
So, explain to me as we close this podcast how this wrestling mania craziness is biblical and how Christians need to embrace this.
Well, if I may mark out for just a moment here. And this is my, in character, I always say to people,
in character.
Let me ask you this. There might be one example, one phrase or two that talks about maybe boxing in the Bible.
Okay.
But it very specifically says that Jacob wrestled with God. He didn't kung fu with God. He didn't play football with God. He didn't Muay Thai with God. He didn't Krav Maga with God. He wrestled with God.
What's Krav Maga?
Krav Maga is an Israeli martial art, which is extremely hardcore too.
Too much information in your head. So that he wrestled with God.
And the shirt I'm wearing now is a picture of Ivan Koloff, who's a wrestler that just passed away a couple of weeks ago. But beneath it says Ephesians 6:12, which says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic forces in these dark times, against the evil spirit, I'm flipping up the last part.
That's fine. It's just you were in Ephesians chapter 3, or Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Anyway, thank you. Thank you very much. And I hope you enjoyed this podcast. And remember, join us every Sunday at 10 o'clock if you want to join us for the service. And remember, we have another podcast every Wednesday of people in the church or people that are part of my ministry that really share the story, even if they're crazy wrestling and Comic-Con stories. And remember, every day is a gift from God. Use it wisely. God bless, and I'll see you guys next week.
Thank you.
Thank you. How you feel about it?
I feel great.
Yeah, it was fun.